Welcome to the Adopting and Fostering Home podcast. Whether your family has been on this journey for years or you're just getting started, we're here to support and encourage you along the way. And now your hosts, Lynette Ezell and Tara Melber.
Welcome back to the Adopting and Fostering podcast. Tara and I are so glad that you could join us today. We're going to deal with a little bit of a difficult topic to me today. It's just a little hard to manage this one. You know, a majority of foster and adoptive families know, and they enjoy the support of their family and close friends. It's so important to have that support. But there are families who face the heartbreaking reality of unsupported family members and close friends.
That is true. This is a very difficult journey to walk through, but should be considered before beginning this journey.
I agree. Before beginning the journey, you have to take that into consideration. Mm-hmm. And you often say to think, you know, talk about how you're going to answer those questions.
Right. And oftentimes it might just be with you and your friend, or like, if I could do this with you, or if I did this at home with David, to be able to role play and be able to say, how am I going to respond if someone reacts in this way? Because oftentimes it's just because this looks very outside the box for the majority of people.
Absolutely, yeah.
So they don't really know what to think, or they don't know how to process everything that's going on.
But our closest friends or family members, they can have very valid concerns or fears of the unknown. It's lack of knowledge or a fear of the unknown. And honestly, as we began this path, Tara, some 14 years ago, we had to learn, there were things I was afraid of, but as I got information and realized there's help, you know, and this is what the Lord's called us to. But when they have those concerns, well, what are a few of those they can have?
Well, I got a lot of things like, this is going to be too hard on your biological children.
Oh, that's a biggie.
We had three biological children in the home, and it was very different. We didn't really know anyone who had done this, and people were concerned about that. Or how do you know that you're going to be able to love a child that's not your own, that you didn't birth?
Or what if the adopted or foster child is just too difficult to handle?
Or just somebody looking at you and saying, this is going to ruin your life.
Right. It's going to ruin your family. Yeah, very encouraging.
Thanks.
I know.
But you know, sometimes I think, especially when we were very first beginning the journey, some of the things that even my parents or my, you know, friends that were talking to me and reacting to our news, they brought up valid concerns, like
they
you
are
said,
valid.
That I had to be able to come to terms with and deal with. So what if this was going to be hard on my biological children? Have we thought through that? What if I don't feel this great love and affection immediately? Those are, so some of the concerns are valid and things that you need to work through anyway, but you may have already thought of it and you can be able to have a response to someone who's, you know, giving you a negative comment.
And let me interject here, too, that oftentimes, well, all the ones I know, that adoptive and foster moms especially, we're passionate about this calling.
And sometimes I think we're so passionate that we think everyone else should be as passionate as we
are.
And they are
not. Guilty. And so with that in mind, we have to tread very lightly when sharing the news with reluctant family. Those we love, we're close to. And if we first share that with them and they're reluctant, we have to kind of back up a minute, give them some space,
I agree. And you can't control their attitude or their response, but you can listen well and you can respond with love. I have a pastor from several churches ago when we've moved several times, and one of our pastors often said, you can't control others' actions, but you can control your reaction. And so to always be able to have grace-filled words, and that's a struggle. Sometimes you don't feel like responding with grace-filled words, but you have to take a deep breath and be able to just either, you know, don't respond at all. Give them a minute to be able to share their concerns. And then sometimes it just requires saying, you know, thank you for sharing that, and then walking away.
That's right. And continuing to love them. Don't just isolate them from your life. Well, Tara and I would like to share with families today a few suggestions for walking through a difficult journey when you don't feel accepted by your family or close friends.
Well, and I believe the first and foremost is always prayer, to pray for the family members or close friends that you fear will be hesitant to your family's decision to adopt or foster. And generally, you know who those people are going to be.
That's right. You do know beforehand most of the time. And to pray for them, because
you know, this is a process for all of us.
It is.
And the Lord is working. He is moving in all of our lives, mm-hmm. working in our lives. So to pray for those family members. Mm-hmm. And then I suggest not laying this on them in public, but to talk privately with the extended family.
Wise. That would be a really wise decision to not have a family gathering when you know there are going to be people who are going to react negatively, and having 30 people in there.
And laying it on them. Yeah.
And then not giving them a chance to process it or giving them a chance to mull it over. We live a distance from our extended family and from, you know, several people that we grew up with. And so we shared our news with some consecutive adoptions over the phone, and that gave them time to process. By that time, they had figured out that we didn't do things very conventional anyway. But one of the things you have to consider too is, like, my in-laws and my parents were in their 60s and my in-laws were in their 70s when we shared the news. And so it just was not something that their generation was doing.
Right.
Or even something that they thought about.
Mm-hmm.
So you just have to let them process it. And oftentimes they'll respond, you know, some will respond positively and some will respond not necessarily negatively. Some, though, may.
But just guarded.
But guarded and thinking, what are you doing?
Right. And so then our next suggestion falls in line with that, mm-hmm. to listen and wait patiently. Think about this. Tara was talking about the generation of her parents. Mm-hmm. People know of adoption and foster care, but most times they do not understand the process or even how great the need is.
Right, right. And I feel like it's one of the times that before the children entered our home, that it was really scary. So, and listen, I'm a mom of six children.
Right.
And I have adult children, and you have adult children. Mm-hmm. And even so, when our kids are making decisions as adults, we still have that mom fierce.
It never
protection.
Goes away. Right.
And so why would we think any differently of our parents, to think that they don't want to fiercely protect us and keep us from going through struggles and difficulties because they don't see, you know, how this is all going to work out? That's a typical parent response for parents who love their children. So to be able to, you know, cut them a little slack. One time my dad said, this was years after our adoptions. And when we first shared our first two adoptions, they were thinking, what are y'all doing?
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
they were a little hesitant.
Yeah, how can you do this? Yeah.
How can you do this? How's this going to look? I'm not sure what I think about it. And it was uncomfortable because I just wanted everybody to be super excited, and they were a little bit more guarded. And years later, I asked my dad, you know, Dad, what do you think that we should share with young families whose parents are not 100% on board in the beginning? And he said, you just need to tell those kids to cut us some slack.
Yes. Yes.
Which I thought was great.
That's clear.
Advice.
We get
Very
that.
Clear. My dad, a few words. Just tell them to cut us a little slack.
Listen and wait. Time. Yes. Give them time.
Right.
You know, when Paul wrote in Galatians 5:22-23, the fruit of the Spirit, he must have known we were going to have tough times that we needed to really focus on the world, seeing that fruit in our life, that the Holy Spirit is growing in there. Love, joy, and peace, and patience, and kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Mm-hmm. This is a perfect time.
It is.
To realize, to portray that fruit.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's easy to portray that fruit when you don't come against any opposition or any hurt feelings.
Mm-hmm.
But in this journey, you will. You will have that. So ask them to pray for you also. If they're believers, you know, if possible, just recruit them as a team player beforehand. Mm-hmm. Would you pray about our travel? Would you pray that the finances come together, Mom? Would you, you know, ask a sibling, let them know, I value your opinion.
Right.
I know you love me, but would you just trust us in this decision?
And it gives them a piece of it where they feel like that they're as much of a part of the journey as they can be, as grandparents, as aunts, as uncles, and close friends, that they're a part of the journey and that they're not lagging behind in any way, that you really do value their being a part
of
this.
Exactly. Value their opinion. And then over time, I would do this slowly if they're adamantly against you doing this. Carefully just share little nuggets of information with them. Keep the lines of communication open.
Right. I think fear is the biggest reason that people have negative reactions.
Yes.
Fear of the unknown is really scary. And so they just don't know how to react to it.
Mm-hmm.
And so even things like sending them a little text of, of the video of a child saying Papa for the first time or Grandma for the first time, and doing the little sweet things that kids do. Because I think most times, you know, on even on the news, we hear the horror stories,
worst
case scenarios of a child that's a traumatized child who's doing something even terrible. And so I think that our parents or our friends see that and hear that, and they think, oh, this is just the norm.
Mm-hmm.
But once they're able to meet the children, and, you know, typically when a child is removed from a home, it's the adult that's making the bad decision. The child just happened to be in the wake of it.
Mm-hmm.
And so once they meet them and they get to be able to love on them and be a part of their life, then some of those fears dissipate.
That's right. And so keep talking with them. And like Tara said, if you just have to send a text, I did hear a girl share her story once that the only way she could talk about her mom through this for a while was through texting, because it kept the emotions down. So remind them of Moses, even in the Bible. Moses was adopted. Moses was, you know, taken in by not a biological family and adopted. And, you know, the truth is that we're all adopted in Christ.
That's right.
And we have to remind them. Some people don't think about their salvation that way. So give time for the Holy Spirit to work in their hearts.
What would you say, Lynette, to someone who has, you know, we're talking much about talking to our parents through a Christian worldview. But what about parents who are not believers and your family is, and then maybe they react negatively? How would you come across, how would you talk to them about that?
Well, I do have extended family members who are not believers, who for years have struggled with this decision that we made. But when my dad was dying and that those family members came to be with us, they just watched my children love on him. So it took a very sad time in our life. And for this, these people, for this person to watch how much my dad loved my children and how much they loved him and how respectful my children were to this family member, though he's not a believer, though he doesn't look at things the same way we do, we just kept being who God called us to be. And then I would value, you know, him. I would say, do you know that, you know, your uncle does this? Did you know, you know, and isn't he neat? He can do, isn't he a neat guy, you know, and he would grin, or we'd sit down and have dessert together, or, you know, we would just spend, continue to give him value and spend time with him. And it took years. And then he gave us one of just the sweetest compliments that, and I send him little pictures now of the kids, and because he's getting older, he didn't get probably a lot of mail. And so we keep him involved in our lives. We want him to come to Jesus. And if it takes him seeing my adopted children, their love for the Lord and what he's done in their life, what he's done, what the Lord's done in our family, you know, maybe the Lord's using that picture in his life.
Well, and that's, that is so amazing. So you're pursuing in hopes that your family and the way that you react to him will draw him.
Because I love him so much. You know, he's always been such a sweet part of my life. Don't get to see him very often. But through that very difficult time, my dad died at home, and so we were his caretakers. He witnessed all of that. I didn't even realize it at the time.
Isn't that typically the way the Lord does
that? It really is.
Just living your life and exhibiting the fruit of the Spirit and continuing to pursue people with grace. And that's really hard. So sometimes that may mean that you have to take a deep breath and respond in grace and then go home and vent to your spouse or cry in the bathroom because you just want to scream because you don't understand why someone's reacting so negatively. But be able to be the bigger person and be able to take that step forward because they just, it's not a normal everyday occurrence.
Well, it's a spiritual battle. And so I decided in my heart and I just talked to myself and said, we are not going to argue when he gets here. Do not argue. And so I would add that if your family adamantly disagrees with this decision, be a family, you know, be an example of a family walking in faith. And you say over and over, Tara, be a family that just keeps moving forward to bring your child home as a witness to the world that God is doing this.
That's right, because actions speak much louder than words.
Yes.
Well, what about if they continue? Maybe they say hurtful things in front of your child, or maybe they continue with this adamant disagreement. What would be your suggestion to a family who continually is confronted by that every time they are around certain people?
I just think you have to totally protect your child at all cost.
I agree 100%. And sometimes you have to be able to say, this is not this is not a Melber issue. This is not an Ezel issue. Yes. This is something that the Lord's going to have to work through in this family member's life or in this friend's life. And so you have to be able to be okay with maybe not being around those people anymore.
And the Lord spoke that to me through my high school student when we were walking through a particular adoption. And she just said, Mom, that's not our issue. It's theirs.
Right.
And so don't put your arms around, you know, don't put your arms around that issue or that struggle they're having. Patiently, kindly, just wait and let the Lord walk them through that. So, and I suggest too, ask the Lord. I do this for family members who I've shared the gospel with, and I don't see, you know, them moving closer to the Lord or have an interest for the things of God. I say, Lord, bring people into their lives whom they admire and like, that maybe they would listen to them.
Right.
Sometimes it takes, you know, outside people,
person,
not family
sure.
members. And so bring those people into their lives that they'll be drawn to.
Right. And you can't feel guilty about if you end up having to say, for the time being, because this is our family.
Yeah, that's
now,
a good point.
That for the time being, we can't come if this is how.
And listen to your comments.
And if this is how you're going to react, because we're protecting our children. And so for the time being, you know, you let us know when you feel comfortable with us coming back. And that is hard because you have to almost come to terms with that ahead of time. If my family, if my friend reacts in such a way that it's going to be detrimental to my children, I have to be okay with cutting that relationship off. It may not be forever, and we pray that it isn't forever. And that doesn't mean you can't send text or send pictures or continue communicating, but to not put your child in a situation that's going to be hurtful or harmful.
I agree. Totally. So, right.
And generally speaking, you know, we've talked much about how our family members and how our friends have reacted. And typically speaking, even if there was fear ahead of time, then after our parents or our, you know, grandparents met our child, they realize these are children who have been put in a tough situation, who now have a family who loves them. And let me tell you, my dad is hilarious. He goes to horse sales and does all this stuff, and he carries a picture in his wallet of many of his grandchildren, many of whom are, you know, multicultural, don't look a thing like him. And he'll whip his wallet up and go, look at all my grandkids. And then he gets his funny look from people. And he's like, they all look just like me, don't they?
Exactly.
And he adores them and they adore him. So I think fear can be overcome. We just have to be patient and not get our feelings hurt.
That's right. So just to sum up what we were saying, to pray for family members, talk privately with them on the front end, listen and wait patiently. You know, it's a great time to let the Lord just let you be an example of the fruit of the Spirit, what God can do in a changed life. And then to ask them to pray for you.
Right. And, you know, though the sting is difficult when it comes from those that
it hurts
we
worse.
Love
yes.
the most, the Lord will use it to sanctify us and sanctify them or to be able to draw them to himself. And that's what we pray. You know, the Lord does not just grow our families for the sake of us getting to be moms again.
Right.
The Lord is bringing these children. He's chosen these children for our families for such a time as this, for the people that we are around to see. And even the foster families that we know that are currently have a placement, the way that it's opened up the eyes of the people who are around them to recognize the need for foster care, you know, oh, those are your foster children. Yes. Did you know that there are over 13,000 foster children in the state of Georgia? People are shocked. They don't have any idea about it, generally speaking. And so it educates people around you. It helps open their eyes to get out of their little bubble to say there are children in this world that are hurting. And then maybe the Lord will prompt them to either, you know, jump in to be a help to you or maybe jump in to join the journey for helping children, in our area.
And to show them, isn't God great?
Yes.
How he builds families.
Yes.
You know, and just give all the glory back to them, back to the Lord, and not, oh, we're great parents. Because the Lord knows, Tara and I say over and over, he's calling out the least of us to do this.
Right.
But you know, just to give him all the glory. Well, if you get to a point with a difficult family member where you begin to see their heart soften, which I believe you will.
Oh, I agree.
It may take years, but you can begin to put small little resources in their hand very carefully And there's a couple that I recommend that we'll put at the end of this podcast on our show notes, and that I think you will find very, very helpful. One is called Ordinary, How to Turn the World Upside Down by Tony Moretta. And it's a short little small read. It almost looks like a small little coffee table book, but it's full of wisdom and full of encouragement. And it really opens your eyes to the needs of the world.
Right. Right. When we came back from the Philippines and from Ethiopia, I'll never forget showing pictures of our kids' orphanages to my mom and her saying, I just had no idea.
How many times have we heard that?
I had no idea. And and how she really began to see this great need and be able to pray for children that she'd never laid eyes on, that she may never lay eyes on.
Right.
But opening our eyes. And it's the same for us. I can remember when we first jumped into all of this thinking, I didn't have any idea that this was even going on in the world.
Right.
And so the Lord uses those things to show us, I'm at work here and I'm asking you to join me.
That's right.
So all glory to him for sure.
And just a word of encouragement, Hebrews 13, 5 through 6, and God has said, never will I leave you. He doesn't leave us on this journey.
Right.
Never will I forsake you on this journey. So you can say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me?
That's right. Thank you so much for joining Lynette and me today at the Adopting and Fostering Home Podcast. We're a resource of the North American Mission Board. We look forward to you joining us the next time as we continue our conversation about how we as believers can be involved in the lives of children here and all over the world.